Matthew, the fifth chapter, the fifth verse, the Beatitudes, the Lord's Sermon upon the Mount. Blessed are the meek, for they the meek, shall inherit the earth. The meek. These words are drawn, as each of the Beatitudes are, from Old Testament statements. This statement is found in the Old Testament in Psalms 37, verse 11. We're not going to have time to cover it, but look at its context. Psalms 37, verses 3 to 11. The contrast is fascinating, because he talks in the language of the psalmist how the wicked are now set up and established and rule, and how he says that one day the meek will inherit the earth. Wickedness and iniquity will not forever dominate and rule this present evil order. By definition, the word meek means gentle or mild, and its usage throughout Scripture also includes the thought of teachableness. But basically, we're going to try and focus in, as definition-wise, using the dictionary-type definitions of the word meek, gentle and mild. Now, these are but words that perhaps are somewhat elusive. We feel, brethren, that the word meek and its definition of gentleness, mildness, finds its truest definition in the life of the Master. Hearken to his own words in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28 to 30. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For he says, I am meek, I am gentle, I am peaceful, I am mild, and I am lowly in heart. I am not prideful, but I am humble, I am submissive. And ye shall find rest unto your souls." Come unto me, he says, those that are so burdened with the ways of this world and burdened with the hardships of your life, and learn of me, meek and lowly. Our Lord's true strength was his meekness and lowliness of heart, because the meekness speaks of his acquiescence, his submission to the will of God. And this was Jesus' true strength, his submissiveness to whatsoever God would have him to do. In the world today, meekness is thought to be weakness. It is, in business circles today, it is taught as part of the popular psychology that you must be self-assertive, that you must be dynamic, forward, and present yourself. This thought runs just contrary to that. The thought of submissiveness, gentleness, not self-assertiveness, not pushing yourself forward. And indeed, for the Christian, this submissiveness speaks of submissiveness to the will of the Lord. Meekness in and of itself is not an all-embracing thing. Meekness is an ingredient of love. It is part of love. In Galatians, the fifth chapter, where we are told of the fruits of the Spirit, we are told that it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. But the primary and main fruit of the Spirit is love. And meekness is an ingredient of love. The pastor has identified it as such in the sixth volume, page 187. He says, meekness is, in essence, in its essential part, love in resignation, love in submissiveness. There are many examples in the life of the Master with regard to his gentleness, his meekness, in not only in his submission, but particularly submission to the will of the Lord, but we're thinking in with regard to his gentleness towards others, not only of the world, but we're thinking primarily amongst the brethren. We don't have time to go into a number of the examples that we would like to, But brethren, very briefly, one quick example. Turn to John, the 13th chapter. On the last night of our Lord's earthly ministry, He gathered His 12 closest disciples, His apostles, together to celebrate this last Passover, this last meal. During this meal, there arose a dissension amongst the disciples as to who amongst them should be the greatest in the kingdom when our Lord would establish His kingdom in great power and glory. Which of them would have the preeminent position? Now stop and think for a moment, brethren, of how this must have affected our Lord to have heard this jangling and wrangling amongst these who were supposedly His closest disciples at His time of great need, where He needed them to comfort Him as His great trial lay immediately before Him. This is what He heard, the jangling and wrangling and contention amongst His disciples. How did He respond to this? By chastising them verbally? No, during the meal, as is recorded in the first 17 verses of this chapter 13, our Lord arose from the meal quietly and washed the feet of the disciples. He showed His gentleness, His meekness. And brethren, in this act, Jesus looked beyond their petty, unrighteous behavior, and His act said to them, though your actions betray it, I believe in you. I believe in your love of righteousness, even though at the moment your actions seem anything but to indicate your love of righteousness. Jesus looked beyond their unrighteous behavior and tried to draw them away from it by reminding them of the true beauties of righteousness and behavior. Yes, so Jesus said to them, that I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you should do to one another. And brethren, building upon that premise, we would like to take a look at a couple of scriptures that tell us of the importance of meekness, gentleness in our interaction one with another amongst our brethren. Turn with me to James, the 3rd chapter. And we would like to have a very brief look at verses 13 down to 18 and chapter 4, verse 1. James says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, the King James says, good behavior, good conduct, good lifestyle. Let him show, if he is wise, let him show in his good behavior his works with meekness of wisdom, gentle wisdom. How so? He says, but if you have bitter envying and strife and quarreling and wrangling in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Because this sort of wisdom, he says, contention amongst the brethren, he says, is not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Brethren, who are we combating? The world, the flesh, and the devil. And what does he tell us? If we have contention and wrangling between us, we failed in that battle because this wisdom, he says, is earthly, it is worldly, it is sensual, it is fleshly, and it is devilish, it is of the devil. If we have contention between us, it indicates that we are not winning the battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. But rather, he says, for where there is envying and strife, the King James says, there is confusion in every evil work. Properly, James says, and check this out in the Rotherham translation, James says, where there is envying and strife, which means disquiet, contention, wrangling amongst the brethren, the Greek word means there is anarchy. Anarchy and every evil work. Brethren, if we have this spirit of contention and strife amongst us, there is going to be anarchy in our midst, brethren pulling apart rather than pulling together. But, he tells us, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness, he says, is sown in peace of them that make peace. The Revised Standard Edition translates this, that the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those that make peace. Brethren, if we create a climate of peace between us by having this spirit of meekness, this meekness of wisdom between us, using our consecrated common sense and avoiding unnecessary jangling and wrangling, we can, in the words of James, create a environment in which there will be a rich harvest, a fruitage of righteousness, encouraging righteous growth in one another. Very, very, very quickly, because my time is up now, and I'm intruding a little bit on Brother Paul's time. I give this to you for reference sake, brethren. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 24 and 25, have something to say about the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle towards all, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those who stand in opposition. Read the context of who he's talking about here, brethren, because he's talking about two who were flagrant heretics, Hymenaeus and Philetus. They taught the resurrection was past, that with consecration was what was meant by the resurrection. They preached that there was no true resurrection. They belonged to the Gnostic sect. And of these, he said, treat them with meekness, with gentleness, even though they be such heretics. Brethren, if we exercise this type of gentleness and meekness in our fellowship, we are following the example of our Lord. 1 Peter 3:3-4, just drawing an excerpt from this, tells us that true beauty is not what is outward, but true beauty is rather the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. We would like to repeat the words, brethren, that we read in Matthew, the 11th chapter, the words of our Master. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. To the meek belongs the inheritance of the earth. For the church now to inherit the kingdom, rulership with our Lord over the earthly administration. For the meek of the kingdom age, there will be inheritance of the everlasting life upon earth. May we, brethren, strive to follow in the footsteps of our Master, who indeed was meek and lowly of heart, and never allow ourselves to be self-assertive and try to be unduly aggressive, but rather follow in the example of the Master. May the Lord add his blessing to these words.